Last time on Find Your Puff Sleeves, we talked about some practical next steps for common wardrobe dilemmas, and we also went over a few reader questions as well. This week, we're going to talk about what it looks like to set wardrobe boundaries and how to come up with our personal wardrobe rules and how these things will affect our personal style. Welcome back, Kindred Spirits, to another episode of Find Your Puff Sleeves. So happy you've joined me again. So instead of jumping right into our topic today, I have been thinking and I want to kind of change things up just a little bit and start this episode with something that for now I'm calling a creative moment. I've been trying to think of a way to incorporate our talk about creativity in a way that flows naturally with how we talk about personal style and less of an abstract way, more of a concrete way. So I'm just going to try something out today and just start by sharing with you what creative things have been going on in my life or our household right now, just to give you an idea of some creative dilemmas or projects that are a common occurrence in our home, because I'm not always working on my next product line. Sometimes I am working on other things related to Carrot Top or just something different altogether. So I wanted to start today by sharing what's going on right now in my life. And just kind of as a cute, funny little aside, the past couple of days, both of my daughters, they are ages 6 and 2.5, and they have just been on a watercolor painting frenzy. We have a little table that's child size in our kitchen, and they have both just been sitting there for hours, just going to town. And it's adorable because they both have, you know, with their age difference, there's a gap in their skill sets right now. So the younger one just does abstract painting with whatever color is closest to her on the palette. It seems like, I don't know, maybe she has more reasoning behind it, but just to see her having fun and not worrying about the results, you know, as a 2-year-old would do, is just really cute. And then the 6-year-old is painting all kinds of scenes from the book that Eric is reading to her at night. They're reading the Tuesdays in the Castle series by Jessica Day George. And so she's been just painting characters from that and scenes from that. And it's really cute to see how she interprets these things and seeing a little bit of her imagination come through in these. But sometimes it's hard for me as a parent to pull out watercolors, or I have to resist against that, because as an adult, you know, when your kids ask to do something messy, there's always something in your head that makes you want to say, maybe not now. But I just kind of made it a rule in my parenting life that watercolors would never be a big deal, that we could always pull it out whenever they asked. I mean, you know, within reason, not right before bedtime or something like that. But if they wanted to do watercolors, then I would say sure and just set it up for them really quickly. And they wear aprons, and we just don't worry about it too much. And I don't worry about, or try not to worry about all the paper, the watercolor paper that they're going through. You know, they might spend 10 seconds on a painting and ask for more paper. And my reasoning behind that is that I, as adults, we've talked about this here before. I just think that that can be such a stumbling block in our creativity, is just the setup process. So it's really important to me to establish, especially in children who don't have that stumbling block, I don't want to give that to them, that pulling it all out, getting out the paint set and the paper and putting water in a cup, for whatever reason, that might seem like a big ordeal to an adult, but it's really not. And I just want them to have this idea of freedom and being able to make that choice for themselves, that if they want to paint, then I'm not going to stop them necessarily. And also, I'm always tempted to give them tips on better technique because sometimes they'll paint something and then they want to add a background. So they'll outline each individual thing they've already painted, like the flowers, and they'll outline it in blue and then do the blue background. And the other day I said to Violet, like, you know, there's actually, it might be easier if you painted the background first and let it dry and then paint what you wanted to on top of that. And, you know, because that's a proper watercolor technique. But she was not interested. And I just left it at that because, I mean, I think just giving her that information, she can do with it what she wants. But there's a time for technique later. That's another thing that I want her to just to ultimately think of watercolors and painting as fun and not limiting. And those rules and boundaries, like we're going to talk about later in this episode, are important. But right now, it's important to just establish the fun of creativity. So that's what's been happening in our house the past couple of days. And also something else that I was thinking of, this is completely random. Well, not to me, but it might sound random. So one thing that I draw probably more frequently than anything else, if you had to guess, you might say heroines, literary heroines, or just female characters or women or children. And that would be a pretty good guess because I do draw a lot of those things. But surprisingly, the thing that I draw the most these days are monkeys. And that is because, well, one, my daughters are completely obsessed with monkeys. I mean, it's any book with a monkey in it or on it, and monkey stuffed animals, monkey everything. They have monkey forks and spoons, little child flatware that they want to use at every meal, and everything is monkeys. So sometimes my two-year-old will just bring me a piece of paper and a pencil and say, draw a monkey. And she won't take no for an answer. So I'm frequently commissioned to draw monkeys in my daily life. But also, Eric and I have been working on a children's book idea for a while now. And one of the main character is actually a heroine, a woman, not a literary heroine, just a character that we made up. But another main character in the story is a monkey. So I have been drawing monkeys, well, frequently in my current life, but I failed to mention that growing up, I was also obsessed with monkeys. So apparently it's a genetic thing. But in high school, I was obsessed with monkeys too. I don't know. I had like monkey pillows and monkey t-shirts and drew monkeys on everything. And I've always drawn this little monkey character on just notes to friends and things like that. So anyway, it's kind of weird, but it's a very cute monkey. But I've always drawn this monkey the exact same way. The exact same way. And it's just the way I draw monkeys. And I'm always, whenever I'm reading children's books to my daughters, I always notice how the illustrator draws the monkey. And some of them are not that cute, and some of them are really cute, or some of them are just extra creative. And I'm just amazed at how they've drawn a monkey in a new and original way that is really cute and refreshing. So anyway, these are the things I noticed. But the other day, I was working on a little bit of just a few sketches for this children's book idea. And it just struck me that I had been drawing this monkey character the way I have always drawn monkeys. And I've kind of known this since I started working on this idea. I've kind of had this thought in the back of my mind that, am I drawing this monkey the way I am because I love it, because I'm so happy with what it looks like, or am I just doing it because this is the way I've always drawn monkeys? And it's definitely the latter. Even though I like the way this monkey looks, I didn't really put a lot of thought into, well, what do I want? This is a chance to draw a new monkey, to have a little bit of a different style, or to do something different. But there's always been subconsciously a little bit of fear, which sounds strange, that if I drew a monkey a different way, I don't know what I'm afraid of, that it would look bad. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I also don't want to accidentally copy somebody else's monkey. I don't want it to end up looking like Curious George or other monkeys that are popular in children's literature or something like that. And also, it's just your comfort zone. It's hard to get out of your comfort zone. But the other day, I decided to be so brave and just try drawing a monkey a different way. And I ended up with a little character that I was really satisfied with and that I felt like was what I was trying to capture originally, but just hadn't tried it out. And it wasn't a drastic difference. Like, I drew the head and the face pretty much the exact same way, but I just made some small tweaks in the body of the monkey that I was really happy with and was just really satisfied with the overall result. So I share all that, that little aside there for a reason. We're still doing this. We're still part of doing the creative moment right now, in case you're wondering. So we're all new to this. So that's what's going on right now. So one more thing, and then I'm going to tell you how I think all of these things relate to getting dressed. So this is still a podcast about finding your puffed sleeves. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to mention briefly was, so right now the Olympics are going on, and if you are my age, and not just if you're my age, but if you are my age, if you are a millennial female, then you kind of have to be obsessed with women's gymnastics because you were a young girl when you witnessed the Magnificent Seven win the gold for the first time in 1996, and that just made a huge impact on every girl my age. So anyway, I've always been obsessed with women's gymnastics, and this year it's been really fun watching it with my girls. They call it mastics or gymnastics. It's very cute. And then they turn the living room into a gymnastics floor, which is exactly what I did when I was younger. So we've been watching the Olympics together, and I think this is the first Olympic season that I don't wonder if I've missed my calling as an elite gymnast. I say that jokingly, but kind of seriously. So I guess I've just matured greatly since the last Olympics. But I am able to just enjoy it and not wonder if I missed my calling. But one thing that the Olympics always reminds me of, that I think is a really good reminder, is just how talent and natural ability are such a small part of the equation for an Olympic athlete. And especially as a child, watching the gymnastics teams compete, I don't think even as a child I thought, wow, I could do that. I mean, it still looks incredibly impossible, no matter what age you are and how fearless you think you are. But we're still just watching the end results. We're not following these gymnasts' career, or at least I'm not. I'm not following their career in the years leading up to the Olympics, and I'm not seeing all that they have to go through. I'm just seeing the end result and thinking and being excited with them, but not really having an idea of the sacrifices they've made to get there. So whenever I hear an Olympian just talk about or just watch a documentary or anything that gives me more insight into what these athletes are going through, it gives it a totally different spin when you are watching all of the injuries, all of the hard work, everything that they've given up to do this, to have this career. It makes them much more human and definitely takes away a lot of the glamour when you realize just the sweat and tears that goes into it all. And it's the same way with creativity too. The creative process and sitting down to do something creative, painting, etc. That skill and natural ability, talent are definitely helpful and in a lot of ways necessary, but it really comes down to just the practice of doing it. And sometimes I forget that even now, especially with things like Instagram that are a very visual platform where we share pieces of our lives and the work that we're doing. I only share the end result, and just because why would I share anything else? But I do try and be more open, and just sometimes I'll have that realization and think, oh, this is the image I'm portraying. And I would like to be more honest and real about how hard it is, just how much I actually do struggle with sitting down and doing the work, and that I have to push through that. And whenever I sit down to create a product line, I'm usually, I would say 90% of the time when I sit down and think, okay, I need to brainstorm and come up with new ideas, I do not feel inspired. I'm not sitting down thinking about how prepared I feel. I feel quite the opposite. And I feel like I might never have any good ideas. And maybe the last product line I created was the last good thing I'll ever create. So there's always just that idea in the back of my mind when I sit down to do these things. So that's something that, and I've talked a little bit about on this podcast too, that's just part of the creative cycle. It's not glamorous, and it is just pushing through the cycle. So anyway, all that to say with the Olympics, that's always a good reminder to me that if you wait for the inspiration, if you wait to feel good about what you're doing, if you wait for all of the good ideas before you sit down, then you're deceiving yourself. You might, because it's easy to tell ourselves, well, that person is just really talented. So if I'm struggling, then I must not be cut out for this work. That person is obviously, it just comes naturally and they can do it easily. So that's why that's their calling. But it's not mine because it's too hard for me. If it were my calling, it would just come more naturally. And I think that unfortunately stops a lot of people from pursuing their creative dreams or just even creative hobbies. And it's unfortunate because you miss out on a lot when you get stuck in that mind frame. So what does all of this have to do with getting dressed? So I think I won't go into great detail because I think a lot of these things are, or some of these things are self-explanatory, or at least just something to think about. But for me, the monkey scenario here, I don't know why I'm getting such a big kick out of talking about monkeys on this podcast, but I just wasn't quite expecting it. But sometimes our habits in our creative lives, or not sometimes, they always overflow into other creative areas of our lives. So naturally, this is going to overflow in the way that I build my wardrobe, because I don't become a different person whenever I create my wardrobe. I'm still dealing with the same creative struggles that I am in other creative areas of my life. One concrete example of this is, let's see, maybe it was a couple of years back. So after I discovered that high-waisted pants were the only kind of pants that would work for my body type, I only bought high-waisted pants, but I pretty much only stuck to a skinny leg silhouette, skinny jeans. And I was so excited about my pants finally fitting well, that the rise was finally high enough and that it worked with shorter tops and just made my proportions look in balance, that I didn't realize the limitations I was putting on myself by only having one silhouette of pants. And it might have worked for a season. That would have been plenty for the fall season, for example. But there just came a day when I just felt like, why does it feel like, I just felt like I was in a rut and I couldn't figure out why. And I felt like I was always wearing the same thing. And it seems really obvious now, but when you are in a rut, as you know, it's hard to see beyond that. So I finally realized that having a different silhouette, having two options, a skinny leg jean and also a straight leg or a wide leg pant, would really open up the possibilities in my wardrobe. So I did. I went out and found a really great fitting high-waisted pant that had wide legs, that looked really great with flats, and it also looked great with my white boots to have a little bit of a heel. And I just really loved the look and was so excited. I just felt like the world was mine suddenly because I had two different silhouettes. So I want to talk about boundaries and rules today, but this is an example of a rule that I didn't necessarily create strategically. It just kind of happened. And that's the difference between a rule and a rut. is something that just happens automatically, subconsciously, without you thinking about it. And one day you just wake up and realize, oh, I've been doing this way for so long, I didn't even realize that there were other options out there. So let's talk about the right way to do boundaries and rules and why we even have them in the first place. And this is something that in our world today, where we have social media influencers who advertise every sale that's going on, and they apparently buy a ton of clothing every season, and then we never see them wear it again. This idea that we would set boundaries and limits on our wardrobe is incredibly opposite from what we see online and on social media, and of course advertising, because advertisers just want you to buy more things. It's something that you have to really think about, because it doesn't come naturally, especially when you know you need to buy new clothes. You might just think, well, I'm not going to get carried away because I know what I need, and I'll just buy, you know, my budget is a boundary, so I can't go crazy. And a budget is one of the boundaries for sure. But I think, especially for shopping online, where there are a billion options, a billion stores to choose from, and it can just become incredibly overwhelming. But also, as you know, I love to shop secondhand, and I love to go thrifting, or I shop a lot on ThredUp.com, or I'll do local consignment stores. And there are plenty of options there, because there are no two things that are the same. So you can get very easily overwhelmed if you don't have boundaries and rules. And it can seem really frustrating if you are on a budget, which most of us are, and you can't just buy everything that you like. So I think that a small clothing budget, or a restricted clothing budget, is actually a great thing to have, because it forces you to think about every piece that goes into your wardrobe, and you don't want to waste any money on something that you're only going to wear once or twice. So when I say boundaries and rules, I'm talking about very, very specific rules. For instance, like some of my rules are, I only buy high-waisted pants. I only buy tops that are cropped. And I don't mean that show skin, but I mean that they just go over my high-waisted pants so that the silhouette looks right. If I wore a longer top with high-waisted pants, it looks completely wrong. So I only buy shorter tops that work with high-waisted pants, unless it's a top that I can tuck in and it's structured. So I really like button-down shirts. So I will buy those and just tuck them in or tie them at the bottom to make it work with a high-waisted pant. But this eliminates billowy or boxy tops, unless they are short enough. Sometimes that can work. But for the most part, if I see something that I really like that I think is my style, but I realize that it's a little bit longer and it's a little bit boxier, I know that I'm not actually going to wear it because it doesn't work with the pants that I wear. So that's a very freeing thing for me to just realize, oh, that's really cute, but it's not going to work. So I don't have to waste any more mental energy on deciding if I need to add that to my wardrobe. I also don't wear long sleeves, which sounds kind of weird and maybe incredibly picky. The exception, again, is button-down shirts, because I always roll up the sleeves. I always do. I always roll them up to my elbow. And this is just entirely personal preference. I just think it looks better to have that line raised whenever I have my arms down by my side, because my legs are shorter and I like to raise the level, the eye line level where my waist is higher. It looks a little off to me to have the line of my cuff to be at my wrist. It just looks too long. The exception of this is like a outerwear, a coat or something. But if it's a top, then I prefer sleeves that can be rolled up, or sleeves that are no longer than my elbow. So that removes like all t-shirts that are long sleeved in the wintertime. And I also, if you're wondering what I do in the wintertime too, is I also just prefer layers. I do prefer if I'm wearing a sweater to have like a bracelet sleeve, or if it is a long sleeve, if it's something that I can pull up a little bit and have it like wrinkled around the elbow. And so it kind of creates that bracelet sleeve. So another one of my rules is that I don't do polyester with very, very few exceptions. If it's a very high quality polyester, then I might make an exception. But for the most part, if I'm searching on ThredUp, I will click cotton, linen, and I think that's it pretty much. But I'll eliminate all the other fabric options because I just don't want to even consider them. So those are just a few of my rules. And on paper, they could sound extremely limiting. And sometimes I think, like, why do I have so many rules whenever I am shopping online or at a store in person? And it can be frustrating if everything I put on breaks one of my rules and it feels like it will be impossible to find anything new for my wardrobe. But I always find something that fits all the rules, that's in the right color, the right fabric, the right silhouette, that I know is going to work in my wardrobe because I've tested all of these rules. These aren't just arbitrary things that I've come up with for whatever reason. I don't know what other reason I would create these rules for, but they are all tried and true rules that I would only break if I suspected that I picked the rule for a wrong reason. I don't know what exactly that would be, but if I suspected that maybe I was just in a rut and I wasn't open-minded enough, like in the case of my pants, my straight leg pants or my skinny leg pants, then I might deliberately break a rule and then test it and see if I actually wore that item. And actually, I've done this a few times in the past, especially if I'm thrifting and something comes so close to fitting all my rules, but it breaks one rule, but I just love it so much, I can't let it go. It's not about perfection here. It's not about, well, if I break a rule, then something bad will happen. It's just trusting your rules and knowing that you picked them for a reason. But every once in a while, I will doubt myself and say, well, but surely I'll wear this because it has all these other elements that I love. And that's a really good experiment to do every once in a while. You can't do that all the time or else what's the point of having rules? But if you can deliberately break a rule occasionally, then just make sure that you're taking mental notes that you can say, oh, I actually didn't wear that as much as I thought, or it only goes with this item in my closet. It wasn't as versatile as I thought. And then ask yourself what the reason is. So how you start creating all of these rules is by going through your closet and looking at what you wear all the time and then asking yourself why. And you might think that, I mean, just don't rule out really, really tiny details that might be bothering you or might be something that you like. Like, because you might just think, well, I'm just being way too picky here to say, well, one of my rules is I don't wear small prints on my clothes, or I don't wear solid colors unless there is detail on the stitching or something like that. Like, no detail is too small. No rule is too small for it to be a rule in your wardrobe. So just start by looking at what you love in your wardrobe and what you wear all the time and just write down the things that you love about those items. Is it the silhouette? Is it the fabric, how it feels on your body? I think that that's something that people don't think about. That's not the front of their mind when they're trying something on. Like, does the fabric feel good? But I think a lot of people have strong preferences on, some people just can't stand clingy, flowy fabrics. And other people feel really comfortable in those. So you might prefer chunkier knits as opposed to a sweater that's more delicate. Or you might prefer fabric like a button-down shirt that is more structured. So definitely think about the fabric. Think about the silhouettes. Think about the colors. You should already have your color palette at least somewhat narrowed down and know not to go outside of those colors. You know, like we talked about in the past, if you're warm toned, then stay clear of cool tones, unless you just really love a color and you want to break that rule deliberately to see if that's something that you enjoy wearing, even though it's not your best color. That's totally an option as well. And then also look at the clothes that you bought that you always try on, but then you take off, or you just don't wear them as much as you think. And try and figure out why. Like, why? What was it that attracted to you to that piece of clothing in the first place? And is it maybe something that none of the elements work? Or is it something that if there was this tiny change, or if it fit better, or if it was a different color or something, then it would be perfect. So write down the perfect things about it, and then write down the things that aren't perfect about it, and then make those part of your rules that I don't buy these things. So, and you might not, it might be best just to start with a few rules. You don't have to have a long list like mine. And I didn't even name all of my rules, but my list is very long, but that's because it's taken me a few years to figure these things out about myself. And I just know that they work. So I trust my rules, and I don't even want to share all of them because it makes me sound like a crazy person. Like, how do you even ever find anything to wear? But that's the thing. It does limit you. There are very few things that work for me and that I like. But what is the result? What happens whenever I can only find five things that really, really work for me? Well, then I have a capsule wardrobe of clothes that really, really work for me and that are cohesive and that I will be able to keep for many seasons if I choose. So those are the benefits of creating rules and boundaries. And I can talk more about these again, because I think that it's crucial to developing your personal style and to creating a cohesive wardrobe. So again, if you have a capsule wardrobe, if you are curating a capsule wardrobe for the first time or for the 100th time, try incorporating these rules. And because a capsule wardrobe is already a boundary. That's a boundary. Your budget is a boundary. And then these rules that we create are just even more strategic. So it's a little bit counterculture. You are saying no to most things, but from my own experience, I can tell you that it is the more you say no to, the more energy you have to say yes to the things that you really want to say, that's the things that matter to you. So whether that's in your wardrobe, you can say you have more energy to say yes to the 5 or 10 things that you really love. And you also have more creative energy as well to spend more time doing the things that you want to do. So this week, as you get dressed and as you maybe prepare for your fall wardrobe, isn't that exciting? I'm so thankful that fall, it's not in the air. It's too close to say, or it's too soon to say that, but fall is my favorite season to dress for. I love layers. So as you are planning your fall capsule wardrobe, definitely be thinking, and also as you are getting rid of your or storing away your summer clothes, look at them and just think about what we just talked about, all of the rules and boundaries and what rules you can create from your summer wardrobe that would still transfer to your fall wardrobe. And as I say in probably every episode, the capsule wardrobe is a safe place to take risks. So even if you create 5 rules and they end up being rules that don't really suit you, then what have you lost? I mean, if you are doing a capsule wardrobe, you haven't spent a ton of money on a ton of clothes. So it's a safe place to experiment, and you are going to learn for the next capsule wardrobe that you create. So don't underestimate the gift of rules and boundaries in your creative life and in your clothing as well, because I believe that as a creative, there's actually far more freedom in sticking to or just trusting that rules and boundaries are for our good, and they help preserve our mental energy and our creative energy, and that they will, if we can just trust that, stick to those rules as we create, then we will see the benefits in our lives. Thank you again for joining me on today's episode. And as always, if you want to reach out to me, I love hearing from you. If you have any questions or thoughts, you know how to reach me. I'll put my email on the show notes just in case. But if you've ever received an email from me from the Find Your Puff sleeves or the Kindred Spirit Club, you can hit reply and I will get that. So have a great week finding your puff sleeves and being a creative person and just enjoying the creative process. I'll see you next time.